it's Hot Wife Sadie Rhodes, and you're watching The Anthony Rogers Show.
Dudes, so you're on the Anthony Rogers Show right now, and I just want to know, what's it like taking people's jobs? You feel good about yourself, huh? You feel good? Oh, you're just gonna walk away? Okay, bet, dude. Okay, bet. See ya. Oh,
hi, Anthony. You wanna fight? I just sent you a vid link to the video.
You wanna fucking go, dude? Where is he going? Like, what is happening right now? Okay, never mind.
I'm Savannah Storm, and you are watching The Anthony Rogers Show.
Hi, I'm Sheena Ryder, and you're watching The Anthony Rogers Show.
How's it going? This is Sean from Smile Empty Soul, and you are watching The Anthony Rogers Show.
Hi, Anthony. I have made it.
Hey, it's your favorite comedian Anthony Rogers reminding you to get cigars from Patriot Cigar Company. Tobacco from Nicaragua, best tobacco in the game. Get you some. We got a promo code right now in the description. If you use the promo code LEGENDARY, you get 25% off your cigar orders. Do it now.
He does have some merch.
Hey, hi, Anthony.
How are you doing, Frank? We got Todd Showalter, Couch Guy, Frankie McDonald on the show. How are you guys doing?
And I just sent you a link to Chile's forecast.
You outsource your weather? To
weather for Chile.
All right, 1 second. I'll pull it up. You recorded your video earlier. That's funny. All right, 1 second, brother. Let me fucking pull it up.
That means it's really humid out in Sydney, Nova Scotia as of right now. It was hot outside earlier in the daytime in my hometown of Sydney, Nova Scotia.
Nice, man. What's St. Louis look like coming up?
And if you're here with this, then it got a cold front heading through eastern United States Thursday and Friday. It's going to bring a whole lot of rain in New York City, where Gino Visconti lives. Gino Visconti is doing a lot of traveling, doing comedy shows lately. Gino's traveling to different places doing comedy shows lately.
Nice, man. What's the weather in St. Louis look like?
St. Louis is really hot. Then it's going to cool down. Then the hot weather fights back in St. Louis. Then it's going to cool down. Next Thursday, solar fall begins.
What? The what begins?
Solar fall begins on Thursday, August the 7th, 2025.
What's that? I'm an idiot. What is solar? What is that?
The halfway in the fall is solar fall. Means sun's direct rays is halfway into equinox.
Oh, okay. That's crazy. You got any questions for Todd? He does cartoons and you talk show good guy out of.
I love
it.
Hey,
Todd.
Hey, how are
hey,
you?
Hey, Todd. And you, do the voice actor after you draw the character?
Do I do the voice acting? Well, I draw like still. I do some animation. Mostly I do panels, things like that, like print. Not print, but I mean like still cartoons. They're not talking or anything like that. I mean, I guess they could technically.
Did they hire voice actors to do the animation of this?
Yeah, I tell you what. Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, I mean, why are you looking for a job?
No.
Oh.
Okay. I do my weather reports. I do my weather reports on my YouTube channel.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, if I ever do any cartoons about the weather, I'll call you, okay? How's that sound?
I do a weather report.
Okay.
I do a weather report on my YouTube channel.
A Frankie comic would be crazy.
That sounds like a plan.
Hey, did you hear about this? I got news for you. I'm showing you Charlotte Street in Sydney right now.
Okay. Where are you at?
Charlotte Street in Sydney, Nova Scotia.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Excuse me. Nice.
And did you hear about this? Santiago, Chile, he's getting a lot of rain on Friday.
I did not hear that. No, I haven't heard that yet.
Did they hire people from other countries when they do it in foreign language, like a voice acting of the cartoon characters? What about other languages?
Sure. I mean, a lot of times you can just make it up. I mean, people will just assume you're from another country. And that way you don't have to memorize your lines or anything. At least that's what I tell people. It makes it easier.
Do they translate the script into other languages for the actors from other countries?
Yeah, I guess they could. You mean like subtitles?
Like when you're speaking in a different language.
Well, most of my, my cartoon characters really don't speak in many dialects, but I guess I could work on that. Yeah. You've got me kind of perplexed here. My brain here is just spinning. I didn't expect these questions. But they're good questions. They're good questions. I just don't have all the answers. I just thought we were going to talk about weather because I thought there's like an Alberta Clipper that's coming through.
Son, did you hear about this? They had an 8.7 magnitude earthquake off the coast of Russia.
I did hear about that. It just happened. It's like a tsunami's on the way, isn't it?
Prince Rupert, British Columbia, Vancouver, west coast of Vancouver Island's under a tsunami warning.
Right, yeah. No, it's pretty bad. 8.7 from what I understand.
Biggest earthquake of 2025.
It's pretty big. It's a big one. Yep, it's a big one. Yep.
Biggest earthquake of this year.
Probably that last year, too. Yeah, yeah.
That could be the biggest earthquake of this decade, too.
Could be. There's still hope. I mean, we still have a lot of months left in the year, so.
Or even a decade.
Could be a decade. Could be 100 years. Who knows? I mean, guess time will tell. I won't be around in 100 years, though. But you never know.
And did you hear about
things in Nova Scotia? I'm sure it's pretty chilly out
there. Things in Nova Scotia is doing great so far. I was on a hot water show with Gino Bisconti on Monday afternoon. It was great. Gino Bisconti is doing stand-up comedy in different places. Gino was over in Minnesota with Steel Toe on Monday. Gino's doing a lot of traveling, doing stand-up comedy this week.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I hope the weather is good for that.
And he's doing stand-up comedy indoors.
That's always best. Yeah. Yeah.
And down in southeastern United States in Virginia, Gino Bisconti and Keanu Thompson's going to visit, and they're going to do the comedy show down in Virginia on Friday.
Okay. I'm taking mental notes. Well, it's been a good update, Frankie. I appreciate that. Do you do sports too, or just the weather?
That means I predicted Atlanta Braves to win the World Series and got it right.
Yeah, well, I tell you, what? When is this? I mean, this year? I mean, coming up?
I was doing it on YouTube Shorts. That was a couple of years ago.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, if I want to do any wagering, I'll ask you that, and if we have any rain expected, how's that sound?
Who's gonna win? Who's gonna win this year?
Not too far off yet. They even got Frank Del Bobo. It's on National Bobblehead Hall of Fame. Anthony, you got the link.
Ryan Sandberg died. Did you hear about that?
They even got a bobblehead in me.
Bobblehead? You hear Ryan Sandberg died?
Yeah. Hey. Hulk Hogan, Ozzy Osbourne, they all died.
Yeah, Ozzy Osbourne, Hulk Hogan, Ryan Sandberg. I mean, it must be a plague or something. They're all just dropping dead.
And Phil Collins is now in hospice care.
Oh, is he really? Oh, well, he could go probably any second. Yeah.
Did Anthony, you still got the link to National Bobblehead Hall of Fame.
National Bobblehead?
So I can talk and Frank Del Bobblehead.
Do you have a bobblehead?
Yes, I got a bobblehead of myself.
Oh, really? How'd you get that? Did they have a special night, or do you just have it made?
They had it made.
Oh, okay. That's nice. I have a human bobblehead. I have a mullet. I have a mullet, and people think it's like a bobblehead. That's kind of a joke, but not a good one.
Yeah. It's like a National Bobblehead Hall of Fame. You can search Frankie McDonald.
Okay.
That's wearing, and like a Frank Del wearing a t-shirt and things like this. That's a new edition of Frank Del Bobblehead. I'm just sending Anthony to your Facebook Messenger now.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm just sending you a link to Frank Del Bobblehead. I just sent it to you just now, Anthony.
Wow.
It's a bobblehead of me.
Huh. Well, I mean, I'm speechless. Where'd you have this done?
And they contacted me, and I got it done and things like this.
Okay. All right. I got you. Good deal.
So it's a bobblehead of me.
How long you been in Nova Scotia and...
Since 1984.
What made you go to Nova Scotia? Was it just like...
I was born in Sydney, Nova Scotia, April 24th, 1984.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you've been there pretty much your whole life then. Okay.
Yeah.
It gets pretty cold up there in the wintertime, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. It's like a lot of ships. Don't ships coming in and out of the port or something?
Yes. They come to Sydney, Nova... Cruise ships come to Sydney, Nova Scotia every year.
Yeah, that's what I thought. See, I've been studying up. I've been studying up on Nova Scotia. And I've never been... Yeah, I'm not allowed out of the country. That's a whole other story, but I'm not supposed to bring it up. Anyway, that's neat. See, do you like it in Nova Scotia? I mean,
yes. And did you hear about this? Anthony, you got the link to Frank Del Bobbleheads.
You got the bobblehead.
I'm an author of a book. Be prepared to Frank Del Guide, Life, Weather, and Everything.
Okay.
And I can search Frankie McDonald. And I'm just sending you a link to my book.
Well, good deal. All right. No.
I'm just sending you a link now. I just sent it.
Oh, I see the Frankie McDonald bobblehead. It's a pre-sale. They come in blue and red. Wow.
People saying hi to me. Anthony, I just sent you a link to Amazon for my book.
These are nice. These are very nice. Now, are these available for, like, you know, like the holidays and things like that? Or
Yes, it's available for holidays and things like this. People can pre-order it and things like this. Anthony, you got a link to my book.
That's wonderful. I see your book here, too. Be prepared. The Frankie McDonald Guide to Life, the Weather, and Everything. What when you say everything, what's that? What does that include? I mean, does it literally include everything?
Like a history of Frank Del autobiography about me. Going all the way back to my childhood days and when I was born and things like this.
Okay. What was probably the highlight of your childhood?
Talking about when I was watching TV, I wanted to be a weatherman when I grew up and things like this. Okay. And I study maps and things like this during my childhood days.
Gotcha. Yeah.
It has lots of pictures of myself when I was a kid.
Oh, well, I'll have to check it out. They don't have tornadoes in Nova Scotia, do they?
They have funnel clouds in Nova Scotia.
Oh, you? Really? See, I'm in St. Louis, and we get these big, like the kind of tornadoes where cows fly around. Not that there's, like, cows, like, around here, but I guess there technically are. But you, whenever you see those movies where the cows are flying around, that would pretty much be, like, where I am. Yeah.
That means, Todd, you'll get the link to my book, too.
I know. I see it right here. It's and you did well. I mean, your book is doing much better than mine. I mean, you have a lot more reviews. So I feel embarrassed to even be here tonight.
Auntie, did you order a copy of my book yet?
I'm going to. You're doing quite well on it. Your reviews are outstanding.
What'd you say? What'd you say, Frank? Can you hear me?
Did you order a copy of my book yet? Anthony.
No, I need to, though. I don't have a copy of your book. Would you send me an autograph one if I bought it?
What about Todd?
Yeah. Well, have you done, like, an Audible? Like, because I like those ones that you can listen to, like, while you're, you know, walking or exercising. Have you done, like, an Audible book that you can, that's you reading the book?
Speed prepared to Frank Dahl Guide to Life, Weather, and Everything.
Okay. So, yes? No.
You should definitely do an audiobook, I think.
You should do the audiobook, I'm telling you, because it's you're going to get there's the whole illiterate market.
And did you hear about it? It was published by Nimbus Publishing up in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
All right. Is there going to be a movie? I mean, you could probably – anytime I do a book, I'm hoping for the movie rights, and that hasn't happened yet. How about you? What was that?
Somebody driving a car.
I thought maybe you'd been to Taco Bell. I didn't know what the hell was going on there for a second.
Somebody was driving the car down Charlotte Street in Sydney.
Okay. All right.
That's Todd's book. He just released a book too, Frank.
Oh, that's my book. Wait, that's my book. But look, I only have one review so far, Frank.
You can't put out the weak points. You got to point out the strong.
So, I mean, you're kicking my ass. Awesome, you're kicking my ass. I mean, my book just came out like a week ago, though. So, I mean, you know, I mean, you're – nah, maybe a couple of weeks. Maybe, yeah.
Anthony, if you want to follow my social media, my blue skies at Frankie Mac D, and my explore me Twitter's at Frankie Mac D, my threads is at Frankie Mac D 194, my Reddit is FrankDown 1984, and my Linktree is Frankie MacDowell, my Facebook is Frankie MacDowell, my Instagram is Frankie Mac D 194, my TikTok is FrankDown 1984, my Clapper is FrankDown 1984, my Twitch is FrankDown 1984, my Snapchat is Frankie MECDON, my YouTube channel is Dogs Wolves, and my LinkedIn is Frankie MacDowell. Best luck to you. I'm Frank Dahl. You're listening to Anthony Rogers Show every Tuesday nights.
Hey, that was great, Frankie. Thank you very much.
Later on, Frank. Thanks. So, Todd, wow. tell me about your book, The Brothers. So I don't know if I can.
I don't know. I mean, you never want to follow an act like that. I mean, the guy's got – I mean, I want to read his book. I mean, that's –
You guys are in the same category. So you're both authors, so we got to
– Oh,
common ground. What inspired you to write a book, brother? Like, what got you putting this together?
Well, yeah, I've got the books, like the collections of my comics and stuff like that out. But this book, it was kind of like, it's kind of a memoir, but it also talks about how it goes back to when comedy used to actually be funny. And, you know, now if everything's woke and you can't do things and there are certain things you can't say or do. And I just think, you know, I just said, now let's just throw that all out the window and just be funny again. So I just tried to include that into the book. And just tried to point out how stupid all this this woke comedy crap is, because it's just not funny.
No, I love that, and I love that. That's cool, man. So this is a written book.
There's actually you can actually read. There's cartoons in it too, and there's pictures. Cool. But yeah, it's actually a written. It's like got words and everything. Yeah, so you can.
Now, are you gonna do an audiobook for this too, for dumb people like myself?
I'm going to, but not that you're dumb. I just, like I said, I'm trying to get that illiterate market because there are a lot of people out there that can't read and I need all the sales I can get. So I think I'm just going to read it real slowly for maybe the slower people. And then like, hopefully I'll get more sales that way.
That's a strong strategy. Strong strategy. Yeah. I think that worked today.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's kind of the idea. But yeah, it's doing pretty good, I suppose. I mean, it's selling. It got some, it was like number one on some weird humor category. Like, I didn't even understand what the category was, so I think they just made it up. But so far, so good. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. No, I saw you right there. Congrats, by the way, brother. That's cool, man. I saw you post that. I've been so busy running around, I haven't had time to read it, to be honest. I don't want to bullshit you and be like, great book. You mean I gotta fucking read it still.
But, oh, okay.
I plan on grabbing it. I've been running around too much. I hate not reading it before the episode, so I can just do that. But I think I'll grab it for sure, man. Like,
I've got copies for you, so I can get you one.
And can I buy an autograph one off you then? Can I buy an autograph one then?
Sure, if you want. I mean, usually that brings that makes it less valuable. But I mean,
I was hoping it's a coupon. Yeah, it's
it's free. It's free. Should I be happy to. But it's a quick read, by the way. I mean, it doesn't take too long.
Cool. I'll pay full price for it if you sign it, man.
No, okay. I can't do that.
Well, that's what you do. You're in the book sales business now. You, as an author, you gotta get your book sales. And I'm supporting. So I'll buy. You got an autograph. I just want an autograph. So.
Okay, sure. I mean, I'll see.
Deal.
Whatever you want, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah. Deal. Yeah. I feel guilty not buying art because I think you have to buy art, and I think that's what it, you know. So if you guys are at home, like, you're tired of like fucking like complete what I would call a complete gay comedy where it's just boring and everyone's neutered and like the white man's just declawed, don't read this book, you know, if you're into that. But
you do comedy and I've done stand up too, and the thing, it was like I go into like the whole thing, you know, television, movies, all the crap, it's all so damn boring now, and there's no reason why it shouldn't be. I mean, all the stuff about you're not allowed to say certain things, and I just say just go ahead and say them anyway, and just you know, get comedy back the way it used to be, because now that's like everybody's offended. So I thought, well, that'll be the title of the book. And just points out, it really just looks deeper into how stupid this whole censorship and wokeness in comedy is, because it's just not funny anymore. No, and I like to laugh. Don't you like to laugh? None of this stuff today makes me laugh.
Yeah, no, it's not good, man. It's just safe bullshit. It's just like it's like I want to keep my corporate job bullshit propaganda. You know, that's what it feels like. It's just boring. It's like, no,
yeah, hey, boring.
You're naturally funny. I've been on your show a couple times. You're like naturally funny, and you flow really well on there, man. Like,
oh, thanks. Well, we have a good time when you're on the show. Yeah, you got to come back. Yeah.
No, that was cool, man. But I'm just saying, you got a good flow there and stuff, and like no, I'm proud of you for writing that book, man. That's a lot of work, dude. Like, just to get a book together, that's a lot, I feel like, man. Like, so that's like you're out there getting it done, you know?
Well, you know, it was something to do, and it was either that or rearrange my sock drawer, and I figured, no, I'm just going to do this. So, yeah. But, it kind of goes back on, you know, it's got some earlier anecdotes and some stories and stuff like that, you know, about how I got fired for certain cartoons I did. I used to work for a newspaper, and I got fired over one of the cartoons, and I go into how stupid that was. And it just talks about a lot of experiences.
Let's touch that a little bit, bro. So what newspaper are you writing for?
Long time ago, there's a paper here. They're gone now. It used to be the Riverfront Times.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so what happened with that? What happened with that situation?
I did a weekly cartoon for them, and I did one that was offensive. I made fun of one of the advertisers, and this was years and years ago. But as a result, I had to go to the wayside, and you know, just because of a joke, really. But you know, pretty much money talks and the comedian walks. And that's kind of what happened. I go more into depth in it in the book, but it just, again, that and other things, how everything's censored and you can't do certain things. You talked about, you know, the corporate play. Have you ever worked in corporate before? I worked in corporate for like 30 seconds. I mean, I was immediately asked to leave. I mean, I just can't fit into that environment. I mean, I don't see you fitting in that environment either.
No, we have the same kind of energy. I would have never showed up to a job like that, probably, you know.
No,
you start at 6 a.m. I'm like, oh, no, thanks. I won't be there.
I've got a relative of mine, though, that it's like they were going through this whole DEI thing where, you know, they had, remember when all the pronoun crap was really big? I guess it still is with some idiots, but I mean, you know, you're like, you know, yeah, I identify as a he or a she or an it or a they, you know. Well, this relative of mine, I mean, they had like a some type of group. I don't know what the hell it was, but they had to learn how to use all these pronouns for different people. Like, you couldn't just look at Becky next to her and know that she's a girl. I mean, it just got so stupid. So, I mean, I don't understand how some of these people work in the environment just to keep their job. So, you know, I salute them for like putting their sanity on the back shelf, but I just could never do anything like that.
And for context for people watching this, if you didn't live in St. Louis, Riverfront Times is a pretty big like publication around here. Like when it was the right time for him, I'm thinking of, it was actually a pretty big publication at the time. Like
when I was there, people loved it here.
Like in the 90s and 2000s, people loved that shit. And then like I think it got stale like the last like 5 years or more. You know, it was, I think it went bankrupt. But it was a really good. It was a really good publication for context to people that may not be from St. Louis or not. May not know St. Louis culture, but people from St. Louis all know RFT, I imagine. So
yeah, it used to be really good back when I was back in the 90s and stuff. And then they were bought out by some other groups, and I don't know, it just became more of an advertising rag after that. But yeah, you know, it is what it is. But so that story's in there. But you know, there's other ones like it. So, it's,
so how'd you get started in this, man? Like was this like your main focus? Like, how'd you get into this, man? Like,
you talk about the comics?
Yeah, being a cartoonist in general or whatever terminology. That's super interesting to me. Like, what was this kind of thing? Did you draw a lot as a kid? Did you, you get some, you did, okay. So you're always drawing?
I was always drawing, but then, I went to, University of Missouri for a while, and they have a paper there called The Maneater. And, I did my first comic strip for them. And before I did the strip, there was actually prior to that, there was an all black paper down by where you are in downtown St. Louis called the St. Louis Sentinel. And I was actually their editorial cartoonist when I was 14.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool, man.
Yeah, it's weird. I was like this little white kid on the all black paper, and they were super nice, and they couldn't have been nicer. They treated me with open arms, and they really gave me my first break. And so, you know, I got that gig as, and I used to do cartoons for them once a week. But then my first regular comic strip type thing, that was later on in college. Then syndicates come after that. I had another one that transferred into something called Campus, and that got turned into another name called Living on the Edge. And so, and then I started doing books and all kinds of other stuff. So I guess the main stuff was back in college when I really got deep into it.
Cool. You just like, you were like just good at this already, and then you're like, hey, this is an easy hustle. Or like
that, some people think I suck, you know, and depending on who you talk to, I don't know, you say I'm good at it. But no, yeah, over time, I mean, you kind of evolve, you know what I mean? So, I mean, some of the stuff now is different than it was 20 or 30 years ago, but, you know, it just depends, like anything. I mean, you kind of have your signature style after a while, and that just takes a while to develop.
How much time goes into this? Say you're doing like a strip or something, how much time is that to do like draw for you?
Well, typically what I do, like right now, I was doing up until January, I was doing a daily panel, which was tough. And it was a daily political panel too. So you always had to stay on top of the news. And so what I would typically do is write several of them out in bulk, you know, so I'd go through the news cycle for the last week or two, pick out some ideas I think are going to work, and spend about, you know, a few hours saying, well, these subjects will be okay. And then I try to pull, you know, jokes or gags from stuff going on. And when Biden was in office, it was extremely easy because he was pretty much writing my material. I mean, I would literally he'd be doing something and I'd be drawing a cartoon about it, and he'd do something even bigger, and I'd have to start all over and draw that. But, you know, so that was really easy when he was in office. But I typically, to answer your question, I write them all out, so I had a pretty good slate of what the material is going to be. The actual drawing and the sketch, I sketch everything out on what's called like a Wacom tablet. It's like a tablet that connects to your computer. So I do all the sketches and everything. That's where usually, you know, a couple hours or so. And then the actual inking, like after all that and the coloring, I'd say usually a couple hours a piece. So that's, if you want to just look at one final panel, it's usually, if you put in the writing aspect, usually a couple hours, you know, 2.5 hours, something like that.
So are you writing your stuff also then, like every time?
Oh yeah, yeah, I write every time.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
that's 90% of any good cartoon is all the writing. I mean,
because I thought that it was you. Yeah,
yeah, you can be a brilliant artist, and if you don't know, your jokes suck, I mean, it's just not a good cartoon. Where I know people that aren't that good of an artist, where they have got really funny shit, you know, that stuff. Their work kills. I mean, that's what it is, because you're reading it. You're looking for the joke. Now, I'm not saying you can go up and just – I know some people are just really, really bad. And I didn't know Couch Guy put on Mask. What's he got? He's got a Groucho Marx thing on now. I'm sorry. I was a little distracted. So,
no, it's perfect. No, it makes everything we say interesting for the ADD people.
I got it. But, yeah, I mean, so basically it's ideal if you can draw and write. But, you know, if – like I said, there are a lot of people out there that are better at the writing, and they do better than, you know, overall than people that can really illustrate well and not write though.
Yeah, that's a that's a beast of like two different arts right there, I think. And I guess you started with like pencils or pens and stuff, and then
right back here. I mean, I have my old drawing table. I mean, you can't really see it, but I used to sketch everything out, and I still do use. I mean, I sketch everything out just, you know, with pencil and everything, just to get, you know, get the overall concept of how it's going to look, along with the notes, and you know, I kind of block it all out. But now, I mean, it's so much quicker. I mean, it used to be, you know, I have to go in and you'd use, you know, what's called bristle board, and you dip pen, ink it, and you have to go and do all that. Everything digitally now. I mean, I deal with this thing on my. It's like a tablet pen that this works on my tablet.
What's the program for that usually? Like what program?
It's called a Cintiq. It's called a Cintiq. Is what I have.
Is that for what you do? Like an app specifically for that? Or you just draw something else and screenshot. Yeah, okay.
And it's basically it connects into my Macs. And, you know, depending on, I won't get too boring with you, but depending on how much pressure I put on it, that'll give you like the different weight lines and things like that. But so after I actually, you know, do the so-called inking, then I can go in Photoshop and add the color relatively, really quick. And so the cool thing about it now, it used to take, like I would do a cartoon, say 20 years ago, and by the time I finished it, it would maybe end up in a paper or a magazine like that, maybe a week later or 10 days later. Where now, I mean, I can finish a cartoon in under a minute. It can be out to where it was supposed to, where it's supposed to be. So the speed is obviously a big factor, but as a result, you know, you have more deadlines too.
I think that's interesting. So you train like the like almost what would be like classical of that aspect, because you have the traditional method of like creating it, but then like with technology, you're probably way better at than somebody that just picks up the tablet, you know, that hasn't been doing it for as long as you or whatever. So it's that's a lot. That's an interesting kind of thing to think about, how much skill set you have to have to even do anything like that. That's a lot of
you got a basic. I mean, when it comes down to the art side of it, I mean, it's, you know, you got a basic, you know, concepts of, you know, contract, you know, layout, design, things like that, about what perspective, things like, I mean, you don't want all your characters to look, you know, deformed unless you're supposed to. So you want some type of, you know, skill at that. And then also with the writing, it's like, I mean, the setup is just like comedy. I mean, you basically have your beat structure. You want to set up the joke, and then boom, you hit them with the punchline. And it's the same way. So, I mean, you know, there are a lot of, you know, parallels to, you know, that and comedy and,
I just yell at people. I try not to write anymore.
That works too. I do that also. Sure. That, you know, keep I do going. That when I have writer's block. Sure.
That's funny, man. Well, that's cool that you come up with the entire premise and then like do it. That's all. I mean, that's interesting. That's a cool art, man. I wish I drew a lot when I was a kid. I wish I'd have kept with something like that, but not to say I'd be professional, but it's just a fun outlet to create cool stuff. And it's awesome you do that professionally. I mean, that's cool as hell, man.
Well, and the whole industry has really changed. I mean, back when, you know, up until just a few years ago, everything was in the newspapers, and you know, people would get their, you know, you get your newspaper and the strips would be in that, and the panels and things like that. That was really cool. And getting to see your stuff, you know, in print and whatnot. But all the newspapers are dying. I mean, they're pretty much dead. And then the ones that are still around are pretty much just like pamphlets at this point. And they're not putting, I mean, when it comes to the comics, they're just pre-buying like a set, you know, set of comics rather than having a bunch of individual creators. So a lot of cartoonists have lost their jobs. So everybody's pretty much trying to evolve at this point. And it's all gone digital, and you got to look for new mediums and social media and things like that. But the way is, you know, how are you going to monetize it? And that's just building your audience. And I mean, I was doing stuff. I was syndicated with Salem Media up until last January. And they were actually distributing my stuff. And so, you know, it's a whole new animal at this point, because all the print cartoonists, they're pretty much all out of jobs.
Yeah, man. It's a lot. I mean, even like your job, radio is a lot, man. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a radio DJ like that too. And and involved in the podcasting, but I had a morning show job, dude. And I fucking hated it. I hate waking up at four or five in the fucking morning. It's like, man, I could just turn this on, talk to you, talk to complete legends all the time. I mean, just like do whatever. I mean, the podcast I love, and I think it's an evolution of radio. I think it's the same thing as your thing is a podcast too, but I'm saying like the radio, there's something with a classy radio vibe, which I like, but then like you don't do it in the morning, which is probably a lot better.
I mean, we've got it really great. I mean, basically, you know how we do, because you come in, you've done the show a couple of times. I mean, we, uh, we, take, we, we take and Joey, Joey Vosser, Joey V. He, I mean, he's pretty much the brain behind it. He puts all the stuff together. I go in and have a fun time and goof around. And but we do our show from noon until 2, and the show airs on Saturday and Sunday. You know, for an hour each day after
that. Throw the name and station out for people too if they want to check it
it's
out.
It's on News Talk SDL here in St. Louis. It's a conservative talk station, 101.9, 94.7. So, yeah.
It's online also, so you can check it
out. Yeah, streaming too. Yeah, I mean, that's the best way of getting anything nowadays, just streaming. But well, News Talk SDL.
Yeah, only if you're not from St. Louis. Yeah, so if you're not from St. Louis, News Talk SDL, if you're here, they're on two stations, right?
Well, it's actually two frequencies, but now because it's St. Louis, but then they have another audience up north in northern Missouri, and so they have another frequency. I mean, that they get a better, from what I understand, that's how it works. They get a better up there, and so it's actually two. But I think the main one here in St. Louis is 101.9.
That's awesome, man. Like, yeah, that's cool, man. You should voice your cartoons and animate them or something, man. That'd be kind of interesting.
Well, we're doing that. I mean, actually, I've got a couple of things now. Let me see if I can grab it. We got Mafia Mom that's coming out. I don't know if you see that.
But, I can. What is that?
Mafia Mom. She's this little old lady that lives in a nursing home, but she pays her bills by being a hit woman for the mob. So
that's a great premise. I like that.
So she kills people to pay for her nursing home bills. And
what a great premise, bro.
It's real dark, and that's what I like. I mean, it's real dark, and there's a lot of blood and a lot of, you know, bad language. And she's just like a salty old broad. And so she's really sweet in the nursing home, and then she goes out and, you know, makes, you know, a couple grand, you know, popping somebody. So, yeah, it is kind of different. But as far as voiceovers and stuff like that, we've got some people for that. But, you know, it's just a matter of – there are some people, you talk about industries. I mean, there's a whole group of people that do that full time.
Yeah, no, that's cool. You're creating that, man. I was like seeing like the evolution of what you're doing, and I almost saw it in my head that it would almost be like you do a lot of radio stuff, and then you draw and write too. And I'm like, the natural evolution is almost animating your own stuff. And I think that would be huge. And like that idea was funny as fuck. Immediately, I already kind of like saw it coming together. But dude, you should do that. You should. Is it like storyboarded, and then you got to find an animator? Or are you animating it, or how does that all? I don't know.
No, we're actually producing this one. So this is like, there are a series of shorts that we're actually producing. We're gonna have probably about 12 to start out the gate, and those are just small clippy ones. We've got a bigger project. We're actually working on a series called The Magic of Shurkan. It's a pretty big ordeal that we're working with a group overseas with. The author, she's from Germany, and so we're actually producing that, and that's not a comedy type thing. I don't think I've got anything on that, but yeah, that's a whole nother animal. So that's the other thing. I was talking about how a lot of cartoonists, you know, it's not just print anymore. You kind of, you know, got to pivot and do different things, and animation is pretty much taking the place of, you know, all the print comics and things like that.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. It's interesting that you've seen that full like kind of spectrum. And I think the cell phone's definitely like destroyed every industry completely.
Oh yeah, well, you know, but it can be good. I mean,
it's great, but yeah.
There's this. I've developed. It's called Tune Screen, like Tune Screen, and it's basically it's a proprietary thing we're working on developing further. But it basically takes comic strips and it animates them in a simple version, so you can actually look at, I can send you some, or, you know, send some links to that, but you've got, you can actually watch your comic strip animated, and it's just fast and clippy, but they're great for social media and things like that. But at the same time, you got to look at, you know, how do you monetize this stuff? I mean, you've got sponsors and things that may want to get on board, but it's not like it used to be where, you know, the syndicates would pay you a fee for every, it used to be like a 50-50 split for every paper you were in. You'd make 50%. The syndicate would make 50%. And all those models are out the window now. All the cartoonists, now you've got to pretty much be your own business person if you're going to survive.
That's the same with podcasting too, I think.
Oh, sure. Yeah. We talked about. I mean, you know, my radio show, it started out as a podcast, and, you know, so, I mean, that's just, in fact, you know, the podcast, your audience, I'll be quite honest with you, it probably blows mine out of the water. I mean, because you've got, you know, tons of people. So mine's very select. We've got a much broader audience, which is even better. I think podcasting is bigger than radio right now. I know it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it can be. There's beauty to both for sure. And like, it just depends, man. It's not a contest. I think art's just like, you got to make it professional first, and then that's all that matters, and then everything else is like whatever. As long as it's your job, you don't have to have a real job. That's the goal to me. It's basically that's how simple I am. I'm like, I just want to work for myself, and like not to listen to anyone I don't listen to. I could just have awesome people on my show talking about cool shit, and like I mean that's what I love, man. It's just like that freedom really is all I care about. The competitive edge in me is left in my 20s, I think. Sure. Like, you know, in my 20s I felt like I had to do, like, I'm like, oh my god, I better be like the best in fucking everything all the time, and then like I'm like fucking almost 40, bro. I'm just trying to like just not even work, and I read cool books and like talk to cool people and like just be surrounded by talented people that are good people, you know. It's like that's what I get, and I think like that's the beauty of art and entertainment to me. And same with you, it's like your show. It's, you could have whoever you can talk to whoever you want. You know the vibe. It's the same exact thing. You literally could talk to whoever you want that time, and it's like,
oh, it's, sure, yeah.
It's like a cool gift, and like to even have for yourself, you know, let alone the viewers listening. I mean, people like, you know, people like that stuff. But it's like
we got a guy coming on the show this week. It's just a guy I know from one of the stores or a store from around here, and I'm checking out, and he's talking about, he brought up like the Billy Joel documentary, and I said, oh yeah, I go, I'm watching that. So I like, I'm enjoying it. And he goes, well, you know, I was like under his piano at the Omni in Atlanta for like the entire show. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, oh yeah, I was like some security thing there. Like, and I was like, and I went, he did all these shows and he spent the entire show underneath Billy Joel's piano. And he's just telling all these rambling stories. And I'm like, oh, why don't you come on the show? And it's like, so some people have like, you know, big in-depth politicians or one thing. It's like, I get some guy I met at the store that maybe bullshitted me about being underneath Billy Joel's piano. So you never know, you know, what you're going to get, but it makes it interesting.
No, it does, man. So what's that documentary on?
Well, the Billy Joel thing is great. I don't know if you're a Billy Joel fan. I grew up with Billy Joel. So it's on HBO. It's two parts. It's each one, part one is 3 hours. Part two is 3 hours. And I got to tell you, I mean, I've seen a lot of documentaries. This is by far probably the best documentary I've ever seen. I mean, the way it's done, the way it's put together. I mean, just really goes into depth, no holds barred. And you really, even people that aren't a fan of his, just as a human being, at the end of this documentary, I mean, you've got to feel some empathy towards the guy.
No, I'm a huge fan of Billy Joel. I saw him live.
Oh, you would love this then. Oh, you love this. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's his whole life. I mean, it starts from, you know, like when he grew up in Long Island. I mean, the whole up until today, and it's 6 hours, and we're talking like 3 hours each, you know, and so it's long, but boy, it really goes into depth. It was fantastic, really, really good.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. That's awesome. I saw him like 10 years ago, probably.
Yeah, I've seen, gosh, I can't tell you how many times I've seen him. Yeah,
he's great in concert, man. He's
really good, really good. Yeah, so I highly recommend it. But anyway, this knucklehead was under his piano in Atlanta, so I figured, well, I don't know, if you suck, we'll just cut it down to 2 minutes. And you know, that's the other thing too. I mean, when you tape, I mean, you're doing this live. We tape our show. I think they're afraid for me to go live. I'm not sure why, but I mean, well, maybe I do know why. But I mean, when it's taped, I mean, you have the beauty of somebody sucks, you can cut it down, or if somebody's good, you can just let them run. So, you know,
dude, yeah, there'll be so many episodes I'll just suck because it's live, bro. I'll like think about it, like, man, that was so, I was personally so bad. Like, on an episode, I just, I can't do anything about it. I'm like, all right, well, we just did that. You're right. And the prepping's cool. So, yeah. And you have more structure and stuff. I like how, like, you think more about yours. I like that. You know, it's like you put,
not really, not really. I mean, it seems like, just, we don't, seriously. I mean, the only thing, we don't have any notes, we don't have anything. I mean, all the other shows, typically, from what I understand, I mean, they talk a little bit before the show and figure out what they're going to. We don't do anything. I mean, we go in there, and the way I look at it, I guess you do too, is it's just basically if I just ran into you for the first time at a party, okay? I mean, I'm not going to show up with a bunch of notes saying, oh, hi, Anthony, I knew I'd see you today. So, yeah, you know, you just talk with somebody like you met them for the first time. And it's just because when we started out, I had notes, and we were going to ask him this. And a lot of times, depending on who you're with, they'll provide you with questions, and those just go out the window. I mean, so
you do that too. You don't take their questions either. That's hilarious.
No,
that's,
I never take
people them. Send me questions. I never do that either.
In fact, if they send me questions, I make it a point not to ask those questions.
Because, no, dude, I mean, yeah, Yeah, dude. I hate when people send me that shit, dude. That's so funny. That dude, is that, they do it to all? That's crazy. I hate that shit. They're like, send me a script. I'm like, yeah, that's why I started the Anthony Rogers Show, to read your fucking questions. You know, it's like,
right.
You get your name in your fucking show. You're like, yeah, it's got my, it's my fucking show. Like, I'm not gonna fucking. No, you're right, dude. That's a great way. The party interview aspect is probably the smartest way to say it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's real too. And you can interview anybody that way. Again, you could have famous actor, some knucklehead. I had the girl that cuts my mullet. I mean, I had her on. She was probably one of the best shows we had, you know. And it was like just talking with her, and you know, about some of the weirdest shit you've heard when you're cutting somebody's hair and stuff like that. So I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you can ask somebody just based on you just met them for the first time, or acting like that at least. And no, I've gotten people though, they'll send like, you know, like especially if somebody's, you talk about promoting a book.
They'll have like it's always authors.
They'll have a publicist, and they'll say, "Now we want you to ask A, B, C," because they have all these canned answers, you know. And I go, "Well, this is going to be boring as hell," and so those go right out the window. And then it's just like, you know, what was your brother's favorite ice cream or something? You do something totally off the wall, and next thing you know, you got a decent rapport going. But no, I hate questions.
No, it makes me want to make fun of the questions live.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And just read them out loud. And be like, I'm not asking these questions, but this is what your publicist sent me. And he's like, roasted all.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
Going to roast it the whole time. And like when I first started, I do shit like that. Like this one guy, bro. This one publicist sent me this thing. I think it was a book called like 400 and I make up the number, like some number kicks in the ass, and it was like this like weird like white trash Buddha advice system thing where he's just like, yeah, I wake up and I get it done, you know. It's like this whole time, like just like, and then I fucking kick in the ass, like just like, you're such a dumb book. And I'm like this isn't even like a fucking audiobook, this is retarded, dude. I'm like, yeah. this is like dumber than an audiobook. And I was like explaining it to him, and I did the entire episode, rather than interviewing, the entire episode was just making fun of his book and how fucking stupid the book was. And like, that's how I used to be, but I'm like soft and old now, as my mom would say. Like if I was like 20 something, man, I'd just be eating these motherfuckers. Me and you would be roasting everybody if we're 20 something right now. We'd be like making fun of literally fucking everybody that even thinks they're competition. You know, we'd just be like, oh, this person fucking sucks. This person sucks. But like when you get older, I'm more chill now, or I'm more like calm.
Yeah,
you know, I'm more just like, I go with the flow more than just like talk all shit. But I feel like you're a guy, you get riled up pretty fast too, and like you seem like that too. You've always seemed like that, I feel like.
Oh yeah, it's a good time. In fact, I don't know. Do you? I mean, it's, you have like writers and actors are the other ones too. I mean, there are the people as far as like they're really full of themselves. So I mean, we try to like deflate that right away. But you know, as far as having people on the show though, I mean, just every day, just people that you would know. They have the best stories because everybody else has these canned stories that, you know, they want to share and say this, like, you know, boring. And, I mean, you can get some people on that. And a lot of times just by accident. I mean, then you'll get somebody that you think is just going to be a 30-second, 1-minute, you know, plug or whatnot. And then next thing you know, they're a regular on the show. It's just funny how that happens. But I think if it's, you know, people want, you know, people that are real. And you don't want to listen to a bunch of canned stuff. I mean, that's... You can just read that. Yeah. So, but it's fun. It is a good time. It's evolved too. And it all evolves all the time.
The only person I ever listened to on questions was, I didn't just like blatantly laugh in their fucking face or tell them I'm not doing it, was Jordan Belfort. The Real Wolf of Wall Street is like my first year doing this shit. And I'm just like, that's a huge interview for a guy who's like first year. Like, I'm just a fucking moron. I'm like 28, never did shit, fucking daydreaming all day. And like, even just a young fucking retard. And like, he sends me this email and he's like, his people, but probably just him. As his publicist, but I assume everybody does that, but I'm just joking. Like, yeah, my publicist, but so his publicist sent me these questions. We wrote all the, we made up a bunch of dumbass questions and never stuck to it. I think he wanted to make sure we weren't going to like, be like, so what's it like stealing from all these motherfuckers? I'm like, dude, I just saw Wolf of Wall Street. Like that's awesome, dude. Like, I was just fanboying it rather than, he wanted to see that. And like, we asked, like, we wrote down the dumbest fucking questions, like some shit, like it wouldn't be what's your favorite color, but that caliber. And it was just like, it was like so bad. We wrote like fucking 12 questions. Like, here you go. And just bullshit it just to get him on the show. And then just like, it was a good episode. But it was like, that was like so early in the beginning of like doing this shit.
Yeah, but that's the best ones though too. I mean, nobody wants to hear like the same old, but I don't know. But yeah, that's the beauty of it. But again, it all kind of, it just depends on who you have. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think in offhand who the worst guests we've had, but probably anybody that's boring is bad. But like I said, we can usually cut them down.
Yeah, and you could edit that shit out. That's better. Like, I used to pre-record too. I started with a Kindle Fire, like a fucking Kindle Fire.
You get what? You have a Kindle Fire?
I started with a Kindle Fire. I'd interview like rock stars with. I'd be like on their tour bus with a fucking Kindle Fire, bro. Like, I talk about all confidence hustle, you know? Like, no fucking nothing but confidence in that. Just like going in there, like that was that's how'd you get into radio? Was that were you already in newspapers? So that was easy, or was that like was that a hard transition, or how'd you get into it more or less?
Well, it's kind of weird because I was in radio way, way back. I mean, like in the late 80s. And the thing is, but a bunch of us, there's a lot of local people that are still in radio here. Like I said, Mark Reardon and some other people that stuck with it. And I kind of went the cartoon path. And then I actually moved out to LA for a while. And so I was doing stuff in entertainment out there, but I totally had gotten out of radio. And, I guess it was about 2 years ago, a lot of my comics, they were running on radio station web pages. And so like News Talk is one of them. And so being local, I mean, I started doing guest spots and stuff like on the other people's show. I mean, just interviews and stuff. And then that led to like, you know, doing some guest hosting. And finally, I just pitched the idea, why don't we do a show? And actually last week, it was 2 years, with our show with News Talk. So basically, I just started doing guest spots again and just kind of forced my way and wouldn't leave.
What radio station are you on?
A News Talk SDL.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So my show's on Saturday and Sunday. So Right Mind Show. Yeah. Right Mind Show. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's pretty much how it is. And, you know, just kind of, you know, you just ask, too. I mean, I tell my boys that all the time. I mean, all you got to do is ask. I mean, you've heard it before. It's like, you know, the word, if say, it's always going to be no if you don't ask. So, I mean, and sometimes you just ask crazy shit. You know, it's like some of the most whacked out stuff. And that's usually the stuff that people say yes to. It's usually like the little things that, you know, people say no. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, I want to eventually take what we're doing now to streaming, to, you know, television and things like that also. And I'm looking enough for opportunities to do that. But, you know, if you wait around, I mean, nobody's going to ask you. You just got to make it happen.
Dude, I was on St. Louis radio for like a week or two, and they put together this like morning show, and like I was like one of the people on there on like Real Talk or whatever, and like everyone's wearing a suit but me, and I just like thought it was so funny. I took a picture of like my point of view. It's like, could you imagine getting dressed up in the morning in a suit to talk to me? I was just like, what the fuck? It's just like, it was just like such a funny perspective, like the world, you know? It's like
radio. It's like, what? You can't see their suit. I mean, so
It just made me laugh. It just made me like all these people are so dressed up and speak to some dumbass like me, like myself. It was just like, I don't know. It just made me laugh, the context of it. I don't know. If radio wasn't early, if I had a gig like yours, man, I'd be doing radio. Cause like, if you could do like nights and not more, like mornings when people are listening to the radio, sadly, I felt like with Real Talk, but like with that station in particular, but I was like, man, like I just don't want to wake up for that shit. It's just like, I don't even want to ever fucking do that ever. You just, like the early thing, like your stretch, like you can do whatever you want. Just as long as it's done by the weekend, right?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, we tape on Thursday, so I'll tape again this Thursday because it's just easy that way. But no, there's no way. I mean, I know, like, you know, Mike Ferguson in the morning. I mean, he's like, he starts, I don't know, something like 4 a.m. or some crap like that.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, I don't know. I wouldn't even function at that. I mean, I'm usually around 6:15 or so. And even then, I need like a gallon of coffee to get me going. But I couldn't just, you know, function at 4 a.m.
Dude, yeah, that's when I realized like it was just a weird vibe. I was like, man, I'm not doing that unless I'm playing podcast reruns, dude. That's the only way I'm hitting that market. It's like I was just like, man, and I appreciate the opportunities. Obviously, I'm saying like, dude, I sleep till 10 or something. Man, I can't fucking do that shit. I'm not a morning person, man. On purpose, you know. It's like I feel like I respect the people who can do it, man, like forever and make a big deal of it. But I think just with like your own schedule is so much better to create art. You can just do whatever.
Well, yeah, it has to be. And I think everything now too, though. I mean, you still have like, I call them the corporate prisons, you know, because everybody in their cubicles and stuff, and they show up, you know, they're just waiting to die basically. I basically spent 30 seconds. I'm not meaning to bash it for the people that are still.
No, it's doing real though. I mean, they don't want to be there.
Well, they're still doing time. I mean, I was at a holiday party, honest to God, this is like last year. And I was sitting around with some friends and they're talking about, well, I got about, 6 more years so I can finally think about retiring. And, oh, I got 8 more years. It's like they're talking about parole. It's like, you know, wait, why don't you just leave? I mean, what do you – I know. I mean, there's got to be some better way of, I mean, figuring out how to make a living. I mean, you're looking at your whole life as a photo. I got 8 years till I can finally escape. I mean, it just sounds pathetic. And but that's it seems now with I think when all the COVID crap and all that stuff started with people working at home, you can see that you can actually do stuff. We have technology now. So I mean, hopefully there's some. You know, bend in that. But no, there are still people that, and what I love is I still know people. I go to the office every day. You know, I mean, I have a real job. And these people that go to the office every day, they're setting up their, you know, fantasy football league, you know, all day long, but they're at the office, you know, and so it's just such, it's all bullshit. And I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I think COVID was pretty much a wormhole that we all went through to the future. I mean, it sped up everything that was probably already happening, but.
Oh, tech-wise, yeah. But it destroyed the kids, though. I mean, that's the only thing. The kids got destroyed. Because, yeah, I still think you've got all this stuff like we do now. We see each other. Here we are. I see you guys. But you don't have that social connection. And they robbed the – I mean, the kids were all robbed of that. So I think you're going to have a lot of really, you know, fucked up kids like, you know, 5-10 years from now that just never got any social skills.
No, I would agree with you, yeah.
I mean, and they don't – well, you even look at it. I mean, they go to I mean, you have that whole thing. I mean, also, don't even get me going on that topic unless you want to, because that was the biggest scam and the biggest travesty ever. I mean, my youngest kid, he lost his 2 years of athletics and when he was hoping to do stuff in college and things like that. It was just horrible. But you've got, like, all these kids that were just deprived of, like, the social contact, and now they're, like, they don't know how to exist with other people, you know? And so you're going to have this whole generation that's just totally messed up. But, you know, so the only way I've talked about, if you equate that to like the workplace, I mean, a lot of people in the workplace, I mean, you've had that transition too, but it's not the kids. I mean, the kids still need that, you know, inclusion and it just, you know, developed, you know, as a human being. I mean, once you've got that, I guess it's easier as an adult. And that's all I've got to say about that.
No, it's funny. Like I have an office, but it has a PlayStation 5 in it. You know,
yeah.
I feel like it wouldn't, I don't know. I feel like you almost have to have an office in some way. But I like it that it's my own instead of like fucking having to listen, like having to call people like it's the 80s or something. Dude, the amount of fucking dumbass jobs I had to do in my like just as a kid, dude, like trying to fucking like figure out something, like dude, they're at, one of them like they have you like calling people's phones like to sell them insurance. I'm just like, what a dumb fucking plan. What a dumb plan. It's just like, could you imagine me like, I got this business idea. I'm like, I'm a genius. I got this fucking business idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what is it? All right, we get fucking 14 phone lines and then a bunch of dumbasses. And we tell the dumbasses to call other dumbasses and ask them for money. You know, it's just like what a fucking shitty business plan. It's just like, I don't even understand like why I ever showed up to that. Or even to the interview, you know, I'm like, why do I even go to the interview? Like everyone just told me to get a job or something. I'm like, I guess I'll get a job. Everybody's telling me to. I mean, I'll try it out, you know, and like, like you go there, it's just like a bunch. Dude, one of them was like selling vacuums door to door, bro. And like, I just walked out of the interview. Like, this is crazy. Like, I applied for like a marketing position in a company. They're like, your marketing's door to door vacuum sales. I'm like, dude, if this was 1957, this would be fucking, this would be prime real estate. And I appreciate the offer. But in the 2020s, I'm like, dude, I'm just like, I make more money selling weed to my friends right now. I'm probably just gonna do that.
More profitable. And would you really? I don't think I'd ever buy a vacuum cleaner from somebody that showed up at my door. I mean,
would you buy one from me? Like, look at me. Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Like, you would buy a vacuum
cleaner.
What kind? Like, oh.
And it's always stuff. If you notice, like these phone solicitors. I mean, I try to avoid them as much as I can. But it's not like they're trying to sell you like. You know, something simple like you were talking about insurance or whether like financial planning, like stuff that you're going to turn over your life savings to somebody you're talking to randomly on the phone. It just doesn't seem like a good fit. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like a terrible way to spend 40 years. So I was just like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do it. Like when they showed me Elvis was a job, they fucked up. You know, I'm like, wait, that's a job? Like being Elvis is a job? I'm like, that sounds like a way better job than anything else. And like, I think that's why I didn't have a job through my 20s. Like, I mean, I worked at fucking, I think the longest job I had was Arby's when I was like 16. I was like stupid. I was stupid enough to do that. So I was like 16. They're like, all right, I worked there for like 2 years. And then everything else had just been like fuck that. Like every other job sucked so bad. It's been such a fucking joke. And I'm like so glad I'm self-employed too. Like, I couldn't fucking imagine. Dude, I have no idea how people even show up to have the shit they do.
And my worst. I was 14. This is, they kind of gave me a perspective on life, but I got hired at the IHOP, the International House of Pancakes, and I was 14, and they had me. I had paper cap, the whole nine yards, and I would stay until 1:30 in the morning. My dad would pick me up. God love them that late. But my job, my main job at IHOP was all the drunks would come in after the bars closed and eat pancakes. All right. And so, you know, and some of them were so sick from drinking and then they combined it with pancakes that they would go hurl in the bathroom. And it was my job at 14 to clean up all this pancake puke. And I figured, you know, nothing is ever going to be worse than this. And so far it hasn't, but I still think, if I had to spend time in a cubicle, I still think that'd probably be worse than the pancake cube.
Yeah, I spent. I had a job like that at Denny's in Seattle. I worked the graveyard shift.
Isn't that great? And
It was quite interesting, though. I mean, it was. It made for, I would say, lots of material for writing.
Yeah.
At the time.
Well, it was really an eye opener. I mean, I learned, you know, don't eat pancakes if you're just shit faced drunk, you know, because these people, unless you got a stupid 14-year-old kid, you know, with a mop and a paper hat, but otherwise, you know, stay out of IHOP.
Dirty Alley. That just reminds me. I've been on the other side of that before. So I was like at like a Steak and Shake or something trashed and like just fucking threw up all over the bathroom. And then I was like, I taxied out. Like, it was this before Uber. I taxied out. And then they're like, they follow me out of the taxi. They're like, did you throw up all over the fucking bathroom? And I'm like, oh, dude. And then like, and then they're like, oh,
no,
that's okay.
The other guy.
They're like, oh, okay. And then taxi shuts. And I'm like, and then I tell the driver, I'm like, dude, I totally threw up all over the bathroom. And he just like laughed like maniacally, like the taxi driver did. Just like laughing actually. So I've been on that side of it too, you know, the other side. That side wasn't much more fun, you know, to be honest. It's not good to be on that side either, really. Like, I don't think, man. But dude, no, I couldn't imagine some of these jobs. One was like selling knives. So they'd call you into this like office and be like, okay, so whoever had the most like contacts in their phone like won some prize or something like that. And I was like a bar promoter at the time, so I had a bunch of like phone numbers. And they're like, okay, now call all of them and sell them knives. And I'm just like, I'm not doing that. That's so crazy. Like, I'm like, hey Todd, so you're in my phone. So I'm like, hey Todd, so you, I was thinking, bro, you might need some knives or something. Like, I just called you up on the phone. That's so fucking insane. Like, I couldn't imagine. I was literally so fucking insane as a job. I couldn't imagine that was real. That was like so weird.
Did you have a script though? They gave you a script to read? Yeah, I mean, I was another thing. I had a lot of jobs that, like, again, they were like 30-second gigs, and then I leave. But then those jobs, you always had a script. And so did you ever try just doing different accents and stuff? That's the only way I thought, you know, could kind of have fun with it. Are you stutter? Have you ever been the stuttering phone solicitor? Because that's a lot of fun.
Hey, Shu, this is a live stream.
That's pretty funny.
Someone's asking if this is a real stream. Yes, it's a real stream, yeah. Shu. Just so you know. Or breaking the third wall to tell you that. But the fourth wall, rather. The host delayed like 5 minutes. Well, that's good. You don't deserve it on time. So that's good. But no, that's so, dude. Yeah, all the jobs are bullshit. I couldn't. Like, there's so many dumbass ones, and like people would brag me about it when I'm there too. They're like, dude, I fucking made it. I got this job, dude. I'm like, we make $8 an hour, bro. This isn't like the top, bro. We're not at the top of the pyramid. We're like holding up the pyramid. Like, we're the guy that like took a picture of the pyramid. You know, like, we're not even in it. And he's just like, dude, yeah, this is really great. And like, they were so mad. They got so mad about that. I was at some house party telling them, I'm like, dude, what the fuck, like. Yeah. That was the worst too, like having to hang out with the people you work. Well, some of them were cool. Some of them were cool. But like a lot of them you're just like, what the fuck, dude?
No, I know. And then you've got, you know, the people that, like, especially like even the colleges now. I mean, they're basically like, you know, money. I mean, they take your money to diploma mill type things. And, you know, so, I mean, you got people that are delaying that, you know, and I'm nothing against college. I mean, my kids and all that stuff. But, I mean, it's a shame. I mean, you don't, some of these life skills and stuff, just getting out there and doing stuff rather than just being hidden away from. I think some of these things, as bad as they are, teach you. I think it's better to know what you don't want to do rather than knowing what you do want to do. Because a lot of these people, they're just channeled right from one thing, and then they go right into the mainstream like they're supposed to. And then they're miserable for 30, 40 years, and then they have 11 years, and they keel over and die. You know, and that's pretty much a lot of people I know.
No, same, bro. And it's, you want to save them. You want to shake them. Be like, dude, you know this ends, man. You know this is over soon. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, Like, go fucking, I don't know, do some shit, you know? It's like, I don't know. I'm so selfish. I do everything I want to do constantly. Like, I'm so, right. It took forever to get there, though. I couldn't do that for when I first started. I couldn't like graduate high school and be like, your parents are like, what are you doing? I'm like, whatever the fuck I want, you know? Like that wouldn't have worked. That wouldn't have fucking worked, you know what I mean? But I think, like, after a period of time, you figured out, you realize how much every other job is so fucking stupid and such a retarded con that probably doesn't contribute to society or even have to really be there. And you're just like, as you're there, you're just like, well, this doesn't have to happen, probably, you know? You're just like, I don't know. It's just like, yeah, no, it's just like, I think that's what art is. Art is like doing something to avoid having a job.
Yeah, well, and you can make money at it too. That's why I always say that the difference between a commercial artist and a fine artist is a commercial artist makes his money his or her money while they're alive, while a fine artist, you make your money when you're dead. You know, so there's really, you can make money doing this. It's just a lot of, it's like even what I do now. I mean, I'd still say, you know, a good portion, I'd say more than half of it is marketing. And so, but it's a marketing I enjoy. You know, I'm out, you know, sending stuff out, or I'm getting in touch with people, or talking to a studio about, can they help me produce this or something like that. And so you're doing all that kind of stuff, but it's different if you actually enjoy it rather than like you're doing, asking if you want to sell calling somebody to sell a vacuum cleaner with a set of knives. I mean, that would drive me crazy. Yeah. So, I mean.
No, I didn't. I walked out of the vacuum cleaner one, and then I fucking like, and then I lasted 2 days until I realized they wanted me to call my contacts for knives. I was like, I was good to just walking away from shit, man. I've always just been like, my mom would always tell me, like, most people are already on the balls to do that, but like, I'd always just be like they'd be doing something dumb. And it's like, I'm gonna go. This sucks. You mean, just like, that's how I feel about most of life. You know, I'm like, if something sucks, I'm just like, I'm not doing this.
Well, I always used to do the bathroom trick. I don't know if you did that, but like,
yeah, you go to the bathroom and leave.
Well, no, I'd show up for a job and I'd know right away this is just going to suck and it's not for me. There was this place back when, I guess, you know, the malls were really big, and I was probably about 18 or something like that. And you remember Sharper Image? I mean, yeah. You know, okay, there was a store like that. It was like a knockoff of Sharper Image. And I showed up, and very first day I show up and they say, okay, you're going to stand here and just greet people as they come in today. And I said, oh, okay, for what, an hour? No, all day, you're just going to stand here and greet people. And I said, oh, that sounds great. You know, I got to run to the bathroom first. Hey, where's the bathroom? And they said, well, it's down here. We don't have one here inside, but go down there and you make a right. So I went down and make a right, and I never came back. You know, so that was like the bathroom joke. So I'd always have to go to the bathroom if I knew that I wasn't. And you never want to go into a job where you're the day one, you're looking for your exit strategy. But I mean, there was always that was the case with a lot of those jobs.
Well, that's wasted time, man. It's like the only jobs I liked is like I worked at like a tanning salon in my 20s, where like all the hot girls in the neighborhood would like come to you.
There you go.
And then like Hollister was like that too. You just got a job at Hollister when I was in my 20s, like when people used to go there. Like you all the blonde girls would just come to you. Yeah. And then like and I worked at the movies, so I'd have to pay for movies. It was like the best hustle in the 20s, the best broke man hustle of all time.
I know there's some good ones. Yeah, I mean there's some fun ones too, along with the bad. So I mean I'm not trying to trash the entire workplace.
No, we'd just be like grilling hot dogs. I'd be like in a tanning salon grilling hot dogs with like three blonde girls.
Just sitting out here with our tin can.
I'm making like 50, I'd like be like 10 bucks an hour, but I'm like, wait, everyone told me to get a job. Here I am. Hey. I'm doing the job thing you told me to. It's so important to you. Do you feel like you're a loser without it? Like to where like you, it almost like the generation before mine would just drilled it. My parents just drilled my head. Like I'm like a nobody if I don't have a job. And I just, I'd be like, oh my God. So I just get some dumbass job that I just didn't even care about really. I didn't even care about money forever, dude. So it's just like, I was just like, oh, I had no bills really. I was just like a dumb kid with no car or anything. I'm just like, I had no real bills. They're like, go get a job. I'm like, okay, I guess. And they're like, well, it's a weird thing. It just had no purpose for me personally. Cause I'm an idiot. I probably wouldn't even get hired at a gas station right now. So I'm self-employed.
I disagree with you on that because I think, you know, that your life, the life skills you bring. Cause I know people, honest to God, man, I know people that have gone, you know, through college, their master's, going on to get their doctors, and they're still dumb as hell. I mean, because a lot of times you're just in this singular motion, you're learning one particular thing, and then, you know, all of a sudden you become so channeled in that you're not aware of all the other things going on in life, and you're kind of stupid to life skills and things like that. So I don't agree with that at all. And we lost Anthony. Where did he go?
Yeah, I think we lost Anthony, but yeah, no, you raise a good point. You know, a lot of the people who do, you know, have high IQs have no social skills and they have actually gone to college, you know, and just, you know, like you said, missed out on all the social opportunities in life.
Well, and I think also, I mean, you need, you know, if you're working for yourself or doing that kind of thing, it's kind of like you got to, it's kind of like the early days. You got to go out and kill your food. You know, you don't have somebody, it's not like a paycheck you're going to get at the end of the week, whether you do something or not. You kind of got to earn it, you know, for yourself, though. And I think a lot of that's coming back, especially with all the AI stuff that's happening. I mean, a lot of people are freaking out about AI taking away all the jobs, but it's actually going to make open up a lot of opportunities.
Oh, no. I agree with you. One of the, I'm not a big fan of this guy, but Jack Dorsey said, one of the things that he said was innovate in like a time of crisis.
Why is my camera not working?
You know, and then that, I think AI, it's, you can apply that to AI too. You innovate, you come up with ways to kind of embrace AI.
And
in some ways just create your own job.
Right. You know. Well, you can. And it's great because everybody's, like I said, and I know people are, oh, I'm going to lose my job to AI, but it's already out there. I mean, it's not going to go. It's like the genie in the bottle. It's not like you can't put it back in. So how are you going to make it work for you? And I got to tell you, I mean, I think a lot of these people, oh, well, Anthony, like, you know, you, and you, I mean, everybody that we're out here doing our thing, it's a great tool to let us, you guys use AI a lot? You use ChatGPT and all that stuff?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't really even think anymore. It's like, you know, what do I want for breakfast? I better go to ChatGPT and see. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, it's not that bad, but just a lot of these remedial tasks, I mean, I let it do it. And, you're, I mean, as far as your marketing and stuff, like whether it's your podcast or anything else, hell, I mean, you can let that stuff take care of, you know, your social media posts, everything. So I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, ChatGPT is great. I've discovered it's great for actually coming up with comedy intros for like a set,
a stand-up
set. And that's what I've used it a couple times for that. But yeah, one of the things that I think about, you know, especially with things like AI, you want to look for opportunities to get in on the ground floor of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the time to do it, especially when, you know, when something new technology like AI comes along, you know, it's like, okay, what's coming up, and how can I get in on, again, how can I get in on the ground floor?
Well, it's like how the internet was, you know, way back, and with all the domains and everything, and now you can't even get a domain that's worth anything. But I mean, everybody was freaking out about that, but you know, now it's just, you know, part of everything, and I think AI is going to be the same. But you know, I think it's going to make, I mean, for people that are, that live and work more independently, I mean, I think it's totally going to balance the playing field, because you basically have your own staff. I mean, you can basically have AI. I can have an art director. I can have somebody be a copy editor. I can do anything I want, where before I'd hire people to, you know, like proof my stuff and whatnot. AI does it all now, ChatGPT, you know. So, I mean, now I've got a whole staff of fake people that I don't have to pay for.
Yeah, and I think AI will encourage and will actually just force people into entrepreneurship.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I don't, as an artist, I mean, I don't use it to do my cartoons, and because people say, well, what, this is going to take over and do it. The thing that sets what the reason that's not going to happen, at least it hasn't yet, is because each artist still has their own style, and whether that's writing or whether that's art wise, and AI can't replicate that. I mean, it can, if I'm, say I'm doing a cartoon on a certain topic or something, and I draw it and do it, if I told AI to do it, it's not going to look anything like what I just did. And the same with the writing. If I say, write this joke, it's not going to be my joke. It's just not going to be the same. So
it's going to be hackneyed and cliched.
What's that?
It'll be hackneyed and cliched, you know, whatever AI comes up with.
Well, it's just what it is. It's basically like it's based on what random types of things are out there that it can put together. So it doesn't have a personality. So I think, you know, as far as art and whether we're doing here and different things, as long as you inject your personality into it, I don't think AI can replicate that.
Yeah.
Which is good.
It's a good assistant, but it has no soul, you know? And like everybody's acting like it's gonna do everything now. Like people are like, all my friends are like investing in NVIDIA. It's gonna change the world. I'm like, AI has a cap. You know, it's not gonna like do all this shit you think it's gonna do, but it's gonna do.
I mean,
what you're talking about is gonna do, and it's very useful as an assistant or something. But it's like, and most of the internet's probably AI anyway at this point. Like algorithms and shit are probably made up by computers and stuff. So it's like,
oh, it is.
it's been affected. I mean, so there's a lot of like effect it has, and like people are like, I'm gonna lose my job. I'm like, I hope I get to, you know, I hope all jobs are replaced and I can just like spend time just getting stoned in a pool, you know, or doing whatever the fuck I want to do all day. It's like, I think the work, the hustle's almost over. Like, we could easily feed ourselves. We easily have habitats. Most of the jobs are just to make 9 rich people richer. And then it's just like, can we just like let the robots do that? And I can just like fucking chill out for a while. It's like, you can say, like, I hope AI takes my job. You know, it's like, I'm waiting for it to, you know?
Well, I mean, that's just it. I mean, it's like anything. We were talking about how, you know, all this stuff, social media and streaming and everything, got rid of the print cartoonists. I mean, but you got to evolve into a new area, and that can be a bigger audience. And I think the same thing is going to happen with this. I think it's going to open a lot of new opportunities to people that may be closed off at one road. It may open up a whole nother road based on what they know and what they can put into the AI. But you're going to have a lot more independent contractors, which I think is a good thing. I mean, you think about it. I mean, it's more fun to be more a pioneer than just a clog in, you know, the wheel, so to speak.
Every time I tell someone they can't find, my friends will be like, or my brother or somebody will be like, I can't find a job. I'm like, start a company. It's like 30 bucks. Yeah. Start a company. That's what America needs more than anything. I mean, it depends on the thing, though. I mean, some people got some sweet gigs, too. I'm not trying to knock it. I'm just saying, I feel like I just had to be free. You know, I had to figure that out to where I can just do whatever I want. Like, I feel like anyone can if that's their goal. But a lot of people just like their fucking job. There's a lot of cool jobs up there. I mean,
and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if that's what you like, I mean, that's fine. I just say that the people I know, unfortunately, they're not happy with them. And I just don't know why they don't look for something different. I mean, but no, if somebody enjoys what they're doing, I mean, more power to them. That's great.
I see a lot of that too. I see both, really. You know, I see like both. It's like, I don't know. And like, maybe they are happy. There's like complaining, man. Because a lot of people like the security of that 9 to 5, just the security of it. It's like, I wish I had that when it's 3 a.m. and I'm still working or editing something. And I'm like, I wish I had a 9 to 5 sometimes. You know, I see the beauty of it, where you just like go somewhere. You're like, okay, I'm here and I get money no matter what. And, yeah. And then I leave. And then, you know what I mean? Like, that's an amazing security blanket, you know, I think. And especially if they're paying you well, it's very good. I mean, I think, but it's like, I mean, so there's beauty to everything, man. So I think being an artist, being an entrepreneur, I think you have to sacrifice more. You have to have hella losses. And then all of a sudden you start winning. You know, I think that's what any of it is. And I think they're afraid of all their losses. Or a lot of guys I talk to about the podcasting, they'll be like, they'll be like 2 views the first time. I'm like, that's good. That's more than 0. Keep going.
Yeah, yeah, and, right, guys, right.
And I'm like, all right, take it to 10, take it to 200, take it to 20,000. You know, it's just a matter of like the patience in the game too. It's like, I mean, I don't think I was talking to anybody the first 5 years. Or you mean I was just other than the people on the show? I don't think I was talking to fucking anybody for like 5 years. You know, it's like, it takes a second to get a podcast and get your art or whatever it is. I mean, whatever your art is, you're watching this film, whatever your idea is, your business idea, it takes a second.
Well, you hit the word on the head, and it's patience. I mean, I think that's the reason why a lot of people don't make it. Especially, I mean, because you, like you said, yeah, go start a business. You know, anybody can do that, start an LLC, but. People think it's really super easy when they're going to do it. It's harder than, I mean, it's a lot of work, but you love what you're doing. And two, they just don't have the patience for it. People think there's going to be instant gratification. They think, oh, I'm going to throw a podcast out there. I'm going to be like Joe Rogan overnight. No, it doesn't happen. I mean, you just got, in like anything, I mean, it takes a while to build. And I see too many people that just bail. It's like, nah, this is just, it's too scary. But I got to tell you, man, I mean, seriously, I think it's scarier these days. You talk about security, I feel much more secure in my situation than I would if I were working for somebody that I didn't know if they were going to downsize, do layoffs, cutbacks, and all of a sudden, boom, the bottom's taken out from out. I mean, unexpectedly. I mean, at least in our situation, we can kind of project things. We can say, okay, we're hitting a blip here. We better prepare for something ahead. I know people, they want to go to work, show up on Monday, they don't have a job, you know, and so... Yeah. That's a hell of a lot more scary than, you know, preparing wisely.
Yeah. As a person that does a 9 to 5, I'll say the couple phrases that you do not want to hear. One, from the boss, you got a second?
Yeah, yeah.
Two, when you get a chance, would you stop by the office, please?
Yep, yeah.
I'm such a paranoid guy.
Sure, yeah. That's, well, yeah. And,
I remember nice. Like quitting some sales job, dude. I was quitting some like phone. We were selling advertising on magnets like for your fridge, and like it was such a dumb job. I remember like telling them like they're like said something to me like I wasn't selling enough. And I'm like, well, this job's like a waste of my time or something. And then they sent me to the office, and this guy just yells at me. He's like, you said we're wasting your time, you're wasting my time. He's yelling at me, and he's like, I got a truck and I got this. He's like some crackhead who like he's yelling at me about having a truck, and he thinks that's like a sign of success or something to me. And I'm just like, I remember being a kid, I'm like, have you seen Elvis? I'm like, that's a job, dude. This isn't a real job, dude. I just remember being like, this isn't a real fucking job. You got a truck out of this? This is where you wake up for a fucking, I mean, they're nice, but not that fucking nice. Fuck.
Yeah, no, yeah. Some people do it. And, you know, more power to them, I guess. But I just couldn't. But everybody's
it's a good way to monetize all your stuff. Like, I got engineer friends making like $200K with a fucking truck allowance and all that shit. I'd show up to work for that. I mean, if you pay me $200,000 and give me a truck allowance, I'd probably go. You mean, but if you're not doing that, it's like, what the fuck am I showing up for? It's like if I'm not sponsored by Nike, why am I here?
Yeah, like,
it's like how I feel. It's like I need. Wait. I'm trying to get rich so I can just chill out the rest of my life, man. So I'm trying to retire in a year, so it's like crazy.
That's what you told me. Yeah. Well but you don't have to retire for having fun.
Yeah, here's a question to both of you. Are you both able to actually support yourself with what you're doing right now?
Oh, yeah. I've done it for 34 years.
That's fantastic. Gosh, I envy you.
Well, yeah. You're doing the right work to do that. You're hitting the comedy clubs and you're getting real estate and stuff. I mean, you're doing the right thing, man. I don't want to say too much of your personal stuff there. But I mean, you're doing the right things to get there, bro. It just takes a second of figuring it out, man. It's like, I was just a stubborn moron with like, and I was spoiled by my parents, and I didn't know. You know, so I was able to make fucking retarded decisions. I mean, I think like if I was like a, you know, my parents just slept. I had an entire basement to my, you know, like with a big screen, a hot tub, all this dumb shit that I didn't work for, and then like so I was able to be lazy and shit. And I think that's, I mean, I credit my parents for a lot of like my ability to do trial and error a million times rather than make me go to college or kick me out when I was 18 or like different shit. I think that like they dealt with my bullshit and fed me while I was being a fucking delusional retard. And I think that was, and I think that like being a delusional retard long enough gets other people in your delusion where it becomes less delusional and other people repeat it, I guess. And I think that that's the path. And I think you have to start out like a, I don't know, man, depends on what, I mean, what I would do is I just look at how much my like bills are. And I'm like, okay, I need to have like several months worth of this saved up and I can make bigger decisions. Like if I have like 11 months worth of bills saved up, I feel very confident I can do whatever I want. I freak out when I start to get down to like, oh God, I need to do something again. You mean it's like, then I freak out a little bit. Like if I'm working too much on a project, doesn't make money. I'm like, fuck. Like I was doing that St. Andrews thing that wasn't making me money and a couple other ideas. Like this TV show idea I was working on. I'm like, man, I'm spending all my time doing this shit that don't make me money. I need to get back to fucking like reading ads. You know, I'm like, buy those fucking cigars so I can retire. You know, the link in the description. It was like, buy those fucking cigars. They're beautiful, man. Like if you want to, I'm advertising tobacco. You know, I got no. got no rules, you know, podcast, you know, payola laws, you know. So you just basically just be like,
but it's not easy. It's fun, but it's not easy. I mean, that's just
it was hard until I had a reason to make money. I think what did it for me, what made me stop being a fucking delusional retard was I met my wife, and then that was one of them. That was step one. And then my mom got really sick, and we were like I was paying her bills and stuff. Cause like, well, my mom had ALS. So you freak out when somebody can't, you plan for that. You're like, okay, you're slowly not going to be able to move at all, and you have a lot of assets and stuff. We got to protect and get this going so you can sit in your house so you don't have to be in a hospital all the time. Like, I had to figure out all this shit. I had to automate a rent, figure out all this weird shit. I had to figure out all this shit constantly. You're I think that made me not – I would have been a teenager my entire – if my mom was still on Earth, I'd be a teenager my entire life. Is what I'm trying to say. It's like I had such a support system, and she liked what I was doing. I'd be bragging to her about this. I'm like, oh, check out Todd's fucking cartoons, and check out Whitney's faces he's making on this. I'd be bragging to her about the whole fucking thing. But it's like weird. I feel like this weird thing where it made me grow up. It was like my final rite of passage, even though it was at like 37 or some shit. It was like, you know what I mean? Like it was like a weird rite of passage where I was like, I think that's what set in like around 2020. I had to like just pay all the bills and stuff and make sure that she was okay. And like help her finance her stuff and all this other stuff. And it was just like, I think that's what made me monetize and care about monetization. Because before that, I just cared about marketing. Like I would just be like, okay, as long as I get a million views, that's good marketing. But like now I'm like, okay, I need money for that. And then like all of a sudden, like I'm not taking care of anybody, but barely myself. So it's way easier. And I don't have that many bills because of that, you know? It was a weird thing. Like I probably would have never monetized had I not needed to take care of somebody.
You get those little life markers and things like that that does it. Same thing with kids. I mean, when kids come into the picture, I mean, all of a sudden now you've got other human beings that you got to think out and take care of. And so, you know, it's not like, you know, so you say, okay, you got to be. But the thing is, just because I don't see me, just because you're responsible doesn't mean you have to quit having fun. And I know a lot of people, they kind of got this thing, well, now I'm a responsible adult. Nothing's funny anymore. I've got to, you know, grow up and act this way. And I'm not saying you have to be a total goof, but there are certain things you can still retain, certain things that you enjoy and you have fun doing, and a certain lifestyle and stuff, even though you still have responsibilities. I think a lot of people don't think that way. They go back to, well, I've got to do what my parents did 20 years ago and what their parents did 20 years ago. And you have this cycle that just keeps going. And you got to break out of that. And it's good for your kids, too, to see, well, I don't have to, you know, be in this boring life. I can actually do some fun stuff. So, I mean, just because you have responsibilities, I mean, that you need those. But at the same time, I don't think it means you have to give up all the other good stuff that goes – put the other stuff by the wayside.
Well, it's interesting that you raise a good point about, you know, what your kids see you acting like as an adult. Because when I was growing up, I would look at my parents doing all this stuff, and I said to myself, boy, that does not look like fun. I really do not want to grow up. And whatever they're doing, it just looks like it's a terrible existence, you know. But what you're saying is, what you're saying is, show your kids that you can still have fun as an adult, but at the same time be responsible. I think that's almost revolutionary.
And it's key too, because, you know, like any parent, you want your kids to be happy, and you know, speaking for myself, my oldest son, he's 30, he's in business for himself. My youngest, he's going back and forth with the college thing, and he started his own media thing. And so they're not afraid. I mean, I think a lot of people have this big fear about starting their own business or starting their own thing, like, oh, I'm just not ready yet, or I'll do this like when I have X amount of dollars, I have X amount of, I'm safe. And I mean, when you get rid of that fear factor, and like you were saying, Anthony, just jump in and do it, kind of like learning how to swim, and they see that you're not, even if you fall on your face, I mean, that's okay. You can just get up and do it something else. They're not afraid of it. And I think, you know, not that you have to be you should be a risk taker, not a stupid risk taker, but some risks are okay to take. And I just think a lot of people are afraid to do that.
No, I think so.
Especially kids.
No, I think so too. And I think with your parents telling you what to do, and like the world telling you to do, college telling you to do, TV telling you what to do, like it's a lot. I mean, and I think, like, dude, like not all jobs are bullshit. Just jobs I'm allowed to get hired to. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm sure there's amazing jobs out there. I'm just like, dude, like I couldn't get hired anywhere. I'm a fucking idiot. You know, so I think that it would be hard for me to get hired in a traditional job the way I operate and stuff. I think that other people are better at that and like doing well from it. I mean, I got a lot of my friends got a lot of acres and houses, and their kids are doing well. They're happy as fuck, man. So it's like, it's just grass is always greener type thing. You know, it's like, I'll make fun of it because I had to make fun of my personal experience of that. Otherwise, you mean, I'd be selling knives like to you motherfuckers instead of having you guys on a podcast. You know, it's like, it's just one of those things. And I don't know. My mom was really into Howard Stern and stuff and radio and stuff. So it got me into it, I guess. Like, sure. I feel like rather than take my parents' field, I took my parents' dream field. Yeah, like, you mean, yeah. It was like my mom went to like broadcast center and stuff like that. She just didn't have a giant ego like I do, where she wants to put her face on everything. So it's like, it's the male ego is the only difference, probably. She's probably funnier and all that shit. And probably works harder and probably have more of a format and probably would have wrote questions for Todd. And
you know, probably I wouldn't have used. So
she probably would have done some good stuff, you know, but I just feel like, you know, it's like, I don't know. I have to wing everything. And I'm just like, I just like Peter Pan, man. Like, my buddy made fun. I got to argue with my buddy one time, and he called me Peter Panthony. And I thought that was fucking hilarious. I was just like, it was so fucking funny, dude. And I'm like, that's so real though. It's just like, I feel like I'm just like this like old man living a 20-year-old's dream.
Yeah, but that's, you know, serious. I mean, because everybody, and not trying to get too deep, but I mean, you know, we don't have any control about growing old. I mean, everybody's going to grow old, but you know, you have this whole growing up thing. I mean, growing up, there's just like this connotation. You got to do certain mile markers and be a certain way that I just don't think. Now, again, I'm not going to say I'm not, you know, picking my nose and playing with Play-Doh out in the dirt. But at the same time, you know, you got there's certain fun things that you don't have to give up. And there's certain parts of your lifestyle you don't have to give up. And, you know, too many people, and that's kind of like the book that I've got. I mean, people give up humor. They give up jokes. They things that you would find funny, that just because they think we can't do this at this certain age. And I think a lot of people do that at ages, too. They say, well, I'm at this age. I got to, you know, act a certain way. And, you know, again, you got to be responsible. But at the same time, you know, nobody that nobody can say you can't still be keep having fun. Because if you're not having fun, I always say if I'm not having fun, I'm done. And so, I mean, that always comes first.
No, I agree. I agree with that a lot, man. Like, I definitely know we're very similar people in that regard, man. Check out Todd's book. You can find it on Amazon. It's pulled up right now. Check out his book and stuff. Is there anything you want to throw out before we get out of here, man?
No, I just check out well, my site is I'm a top, my company is Todd Showalter Productions. It's TODDSPROD ToddSProd.com or check out the show on News Talk STL or hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, or X, whatever we want to call it now. Any of the social media stuff, and I'd love to hear from you. I appreciate being on tonight,
dude. No, thanks, guys. Thanks, man. You're welcome, bro. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun meeting you.
Likewise, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're watching at home, before we get out of here, I want to tell you about what we got here. Rumble Premium, you should get – hang on one second. Let me pull it up. If you do not – a lot of you guys are watching the Rumble. Some of you guys watch this on YouTube. Some of you are on Twitch. Some of you will hear this on many other things. But the sponsorship from Rumble is incredibly important to the survival of the company. So it's a free speech platform. And basically, it's like what I'd call better than YouTube. So if you're watching on YouTube, upgrade to Rumble. When Rumble first started in 2013, they built a platform for the small creator. They didn't censor or have biases. They were fair and treated all creators equally. No one thought platforms would censor us the way they did during COVID, but they did. And Facebook admitted they felt a pressure from the Biden and Harris administration. Rumble did not. They held line. They're attacked daily for giving us a voice to talk to you, a free speech voice. Like, this is like, I'm reading a script, but like, this is an ad. So
you're doing great.
I'm just saying, like, I appreciate Rumble for my own personal reasons too. Being able to, they feature me. This podcast is featured right now on the front page. This episode is, so I appreciate Rumble. Everybody at Rumble always helps me out. I appreciate it. But also, Rumble did not. They held the line. They're attacked daily for giving us a voice to talk to you. They're attacked in corporate media. They're attacked by governments like France. They're attacked from brand advertisers who refuse to work with them. Corporate America is fighting to remove speech. Rumble is fighting to keep it. Rumble won't survive with brand advertisers. They don't get much of it because of the censorship and stuff. So watching our show on Rumble is the most they can ask for you. But if you really believe this fight and you have some means, one major way you could help is Rumble survives joining Rumble Premium. Join the community that believes in the First Amendment and believes in human rights to free speech. Rumble's offering a $10 off the promo code STUDIO when you purchase an annual subscription. Go to rumble.com/premium. Use promo code STUDIO. Like I said, if you have the means and believe in the cause, now's the time to do it. If you don't, just watch the show. Enjoy it, and thank you for being here. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you should watch this on Rumble instead. That's basically that. And thank you, Todd. Thank you, Whitney. Whitney does a lot of stand-up comedy also. His name's Whitney Holland, playing Couch Guy. He does a lot of stand-up comedy also. Look for his shows out there. Don't tell him how big he is, so he starts asking me for money and stuff. So just keep him humble, you know. don't tell him he's worth more than being on the show. He's not aware of that yet. So thank you, Todd, for going backwards in your career and being
thank
here.
You.
I appreciate you talking to little guys like us. Doing that move, going back. I appreciate the charity. We actually we're signing Todd's probation papers after this. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Court order probation.
You forgot last time, because last time I got in a lot of trouble. So please remember. Okay.
Good. Yeah, we'll make sure that was his court obligation to be here. So I appreciate the American justice system bringing us Todd, and for that, check out his book and stuff. And then unfollow me on Instagram, then follow me back, so it gives me a notification. I feel better about myself. And you guys have a good night. I'm out of here.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep. Bam. God bless you all.
Yeah.
May all your dreams happen. Bam.
All right. I'm out.